This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Human-Animal Connection Show, where we believe we can communicate with all animals. Join us as we explore the 33 principles and healing methods of the human-animal connection. As animal lovers, we know that you share our commitment to making the world a kinder place for all creatures. Together, let's embrace the transformative healing power of the human-animal connection.
Hello, everyone. It's Jeannie Joseph. I am the executive director of the Human-Animal Connection and your host for this podcast. I am so happy to have Stephanie Banks. She is a highly sought-after intuitive channel who helps people connect at the soul level with their animals and loved ones on the other side, including plants and spirit guides. And today we're going to talk about worms. These are the hidden healers beneath our feet. We are really excited to explore. This is probably something most people haven't thought much about, but we're going to first tell you a little bit about worms, and then we're going to talk to them directly, which is going to be just so much fun because they have just an amazing kind of intelligence that's something that we've long underestimated. So, Stephanie, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jeannie. I know. I'm so happy to be here, and I'm so excited for the topic because you and I just started geeking out just a minute ago as we were doing a little bit of research to educate ourselves about the wonder of these creatures, right? The great alchemists of the planet. They do so much. We fully depend on them, and yet so many of us have no idea about them, and we just not even see the miracle of them if a worm was laying on the sidewalk in front of us.
I know. I mean, it's funny. You know, this is, I think I told you this last time, one of my first words was I looked at a worm and I pointed to it and I said to my mother, germ. That's what I thought it was, but it was one of my earliest, you know, it's funny that, you know, I mean, I was three or something very early, but, you know, just amazing that we're going to bring them to life. You know, we're going to give people an inside view of worms. I mean, we know about how they take decay and turn it into this incredible ecosystem, but they actually are like ecosystem engineers. They have social intelligence. They're working with a level of nonverbal intelligence without eyes and ears or the brain that we think of as a brain, and yet they work as a team, as a community. This is so exciting. So is there anything else you want to tell the folks about worms before we go and talk to them?
Just again, I would say we are fully dependent on them for life. Without worms, we do not have healthy soil. Without healthy soil, we do not have food. Without food, guess what?
Yes.
Not here. I really hope that this episode, even for myself as well, like touches us in a place and activates a curiosity and a respect and a love for the creatures that are so small. They are almost always ignored, almost always under-celebrated, under-recognized. And here we want to. Our point today, Jeannie and I, is to elevate our awareness and activate our love for all the creatures. And we're starting with ones that are perhaps the most forgotten.
Yeah, it's so amazing. I mean, we just don't realize that they're very complex in the work that they're doing together. I mean, they're literally architects of the soil. They create these tunnels, which creates oxygen, which, you know, regulates the soil and how everything grows. I mean, we're talking about some high-level mastery here.
Yes, yes. And that is their job, and their job affects us. And our job, by the way, we have a job. We have a job to protect them. We have a job to create safe spaces for them to have their communities. We have a job to stop dumping toxic chemicals where they are trying their best to turn soil into nurturing, you know, sustenance and support for food. Where do we belong in this ecosystem as they show us their masterful capacity to transform, transmute, and give, like endless givers, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, they are masters at renewal, yes. which is something that we need so much on so many levels. You know, I think we can all think about some pretty obvious levels where the humans need some renewal.
Yes.
Exactly.
And these are our warriors. These are our Marines of renewal. You know?
Yes.
These invisible people doing, beings, I should say, doing this masterful work. Are you ready to talk to the worms? Are you ready to do that?
I'm always ready to talk to the worms.
Okay. All right. All right. So I'm going to ask Stephanie to take a moment and tune in. And we've told you a little bit about how valuable and important worms are. And now what we want to do is see if the worms will talk to us here on this podcast. So they're not physically in the room with us, but they are. We are sitting inside human dwellings. However, it is possible through telepathic communication to communicate with animals and all beings. And today we're going to communicate with the worms. So Stephanie, I will just open it up to you and say, what would the worms like us to know to start? I know they have a lot to say, but what would they like? Where would they like to start as poor little humans off?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I would say that while they might not be in the room with us, they are under our feet. They are surrounding us. So their presence is vast. Yeah. So let's channel them. What I do, I call channeling, and I'm just attuning to the energetic frequency and soul essence of these beautiful creatures. So let's tune into them as a collective and hear what they have to say. Let's do that. We are deeply honored to be here with you right now. We knew this invitation was coming, and we might say it's been a long time coming, but we don't say this with any sort of accusation or negativity or blameful nature, for who has any time or inclination for that. We say this with gratitude. We say this with appreciation. We say this with deep love. For the truth is that we love our work. We love what we do. We are here to churn, and we are here to transform, and we are here to take one form and bring it into another. And you might just say, well, it's so simple. You're just eating and pooping and eating and pooping, and that's all you're really doing. And we would say, really? Really? Is that honestly what you think? Because without us doing our eating and pooping, would you be able to eat and poop? And isn't that really all you humans do anyway? So with joy and with laughter and with playfulness, we invite you into our world. Come in, come in, come in a little closer. That's right. You will want your eyes to adjust. There is darkness here. There is meant to be darkness here. We work best, of course, in the shadow. Without the light. It is not that we are averse to light. It is that we work best with absence of light or limited light. And we suggest to you, maybe you want to try this as well. For the humans, for whatever reasons, have been trained to fear the darkness. They have been trained to be averse to it. They have been trained to turn away from it. And yet we would propose that some of the most exquisite transformation occurs in shadow, does it not? Some of the most incredible work happens under cover of night, under the absence of light. And so we're going to invite you into this shadowy, glorious space that we inhabit so you can shed what you need to shed, so you can be who you need to be, so you can feel what you need to feel. It is always what we are doing. We are feeling our way. We know who is present and what is present around us because we can feel it. We can feel it through vibrational sensitivities. We can feel it through the shift of temperature. We can feel it through the change in moisture. We can feel it through a very, very highly attuned sensory and sensitive system. And we would venture a guess that you would very much love to fine-tune your own sensory systems so you can know more clearly, more fully, with greater trust what is coming your way. For if you knew that dangerous vibration was coming closer, you would know to move away. If you knew that those who had, well, for example, in the human realm, malintent or dense energy or challenging vibrations were moving into the field, you would start to scan, wouldn't you? You would start to look for where you could have more space, where you could claim your space, where you could do your work and be yourself and offer what you have to offer without any threat. That's what we do. We don't think about it. We don't have to think about it. We gain information. We trust the information that is coming our way. We have never, ever, ever, ever been led astray from the vibrational information that we are able to perceive. And so we trust it and we respond accordingly. What if humans were able to do that? What if humans were able to trust what they feel, what they sense, what they know?
what is present and able to give themselves permission to move in whichever direction felt best for them, whichever direction was more expansive for them, whichever direction was more in honoring of the truth and their purpose and the reason why they are taking breath and those that they wish to serve. We are inviting you into this whole world of ours because it is one of the best places to live, we believe. If you can take your fear of the darkness and you can transform it into your appreciation for that which can only sometimes occur within the context of shadow, then you can learn to release your fear, to no longer operate from fear and welcome it just as another aspect, another way of being. For what we have found is when one seeks too much bright, warm heat and light, one shrivels. Take us, for example.
Wow. Beautiful.
Absolutely beautiful. Have a sip of water. That was fantastic.
Well,
it's so amazing to just, a whole community of creatures that we rarely give the time of day to, the light of day, the light of shadow, or, you know, and look at the richness. Look at what they have to offer, not only about their world, but about ours. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was so delightful, the lack of judgment that they had. You know, they weren't blaming us for our ignorance of their ways, or, you know, they understand that we have the same need for safety. We have the same fear of the shadow and the darkness, you know, not that they have the fear, but we have the same kinds of, you know, let's put it this way. They are aware of light and dark, and they have, they have preferences, but not judgments.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. And it's like, I felt like that transmission was an invitation for us to spend a little more time in the darkness, we're not talking about violence. And so, you know, we're talking about how we literally fear our own shadow.
Yes. Yes.
It's a literal thing. We will run from it.
Yes.
Instead of recognizing it as an aspect of our humanity, shadow is just that which we have not fully accepted, fully looked into, fully embraced. And they're not running from that. They're doing all of the best work within the shadow, within the darkness. So what a beautiful reframe.
Mm-hmm. It is wonderful. It is wonderful. And for us as humans to recognize that if we're going to have light, we're going to have shadow.
Yeah.
You know, and to not assume that one is better than another, that they coexist, they're co-equals.
Yeah.
The power of the shadow and the power of the light.
Yes. And I love how at the end they said, if you seek, like, if you're too much in brightness and heat, mm-hmm. you shrivel. And I think about the time, my teenage years, when I would bake my body in the sun, right, to try to get like a darker skin tone or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, and how damaging that is.
Yeah.
And to living, you know, organisms, how damaging it is to spend too much time in any one realm exclusively. So it's bringing us back to this idea of balance.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just had to pick up this one other thing too, with when the worms were talking about eating and pooping, you know, you know, because we go eating, oh good, poop, oh bad, you know,
right.
But it's like we don't see the unity of that. You know what I mean? Like that. I mean, I have two miniature donkeys, two therapy donkeys in my backyard, which means that every day, you know, three times a day, I deal with a lot of poop.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I've taken to recognizing that this chore of picking up the poop, which I must do, otherwise the flies will have take over. It's a spiritual, you know, like practice. It's like I could do it mindlessly, which would get the poop up. But if I do it with the recognition that this is, you know, an experience of oneness, you know, that that poop is as glorious as hay in its way. You know what I mean? You know, poop is hay that's been through the digestion process.
Yes.
You know,
and if you lived with near a lot of farms, they might pay you for your poop. You know,
I wish I could find a farm that wanted my donkey poop because it's so pure and clean. They only eat hay, occasionally some mint and an apple or a carrot, but, you know, it's such pure poop, you know.
Exactly. I mean, this is the beauty of it, right? It grows things, and that's the whole point.
Yeah. Yeah. And yet if I ignore it, if I were to go a day without picking it up, it would be horrible, you know. So there's I don't know, there's a dance with poop.
I guess.
There is absolutely. It's kind of like water. If water stagnates and it does not flow, then you have disease and you have illness and you have parasites and all the things. But when water is in flow, when poop is in flow, we have, you know, that's the healthy way to be, to have things. So I'm going to manifest a farm that is so happy to have your donkey poop and will even pick it up.
Yeah, that would be just so delightful. That would be a beautiful thing. We're going to take a short little break. And when we come back, we're going to talk with the worms, maybe about if they could tell us about community, you know, what it means to be in community. And then we'll see whatever else they want to talk about. I know that they will have things that I can't even imagine that they'll want to share. So we will be right back in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem. But the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell she was very alert. She was going on 5 mile walk. She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's carnivora.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Hey friends, if you like what you're hearing and want to learn more, check out Dr. Joseph's book, The Human-Animal Connection, Deepening Relationships with Animals and Ourselves. Or visit the website, thehumananimalconnection.org, to book an online consultation. Thank you for loving animals. Now back to the show.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Human-Animal Connection, where we're talking to the architects of the universe. And that would be worms. I'm speaking with Stephanie Banks. She's an intuitive channeler, and she connects with all beings. And today, we are having a get-up-close-and-personable, deep conversation with worms. So, Stephanie, I'd like to start with asking the worms to share. They have such a sophisticated community. I'd like them to share with that, and I know they're going to take the conversation wherever they want from there. But we'll start with, so worms, what can you tell us humans who are struggling with community, especially now in these days? We are having a very challenging time with community. What can you tell us about community and how you do it?
Beautiful. Okay, let's ask them. Well, do not take this as judgmental, please, but we have a consensus here, and our consensus is that we believe you all talk far too much.
Speaking of podcasts, but not like an exception for this one.
No, we understand and we respect the need for this type of communication, but we do believe that it has been puffed up, overdone, because you find yourselves unable to be in silence and unable to be in community without verbalization, without speech, without expression of language. You are simply unable, as far as our observations can take us, it seems that you are in deep resistance or perhaps even unable to communicate without these constant sounds, phonemes, words, statements, sentences, paragraphs, etc. Now, if you were, let's just say if you were to observe how we are in community, for example, which is clustered quite proximally in some ways, very, very closely packed together, you might consider us to be. You certainly would say, perhaps we do not wish as humans to be so clustered, so close, so cloistered together. But we would say, well, that is how we get our best. That is how we have our best conversations. That is how we are able to have our greatest communication, for we rely on these back and forth expressions of reciprocity and communication from one another, and we do not have to tap it out as in Morse code. We do not have to create sound. We do not have to formulate words or design language or find ways to meet others through attempts to match their language. We are close and we get to do our exchanges and our communication in this way. So we're going to make a suggestion to you. If you can find opportunities and those who are willing to experiment with you in this way, opportunities to be in proximity to other humans who are willing to enter into states of silence. And this does not mean they are distancing themselves from you. In fact, the agreement is that we can be as close as we wish to be. We can communicate and engage as much as we deem delightful to us. We just will not utilize speech. We just will not be verbal. We will find other ways. And this allows you to tap into an area of creativity and open-heartedness, if you will, and open-mindedness for sure, and playfulness. Now, you may not know about us how much we love to play, but we can tell you right now, we love to play. And you may see our playful nature if you were to sit in observation with us for long enough. Oh, sure, it looks like we are all work and no play, but that is not at all the case. We love being in these bodies. We love being wiggly, as you say. We love having this sort of freedom of movement. And when the area, the ground, the space around us is moist so that our skin can do the exchanges of moisture and gases that it optimally is designed to do, well, everything just feels so good. And when one feels so good, they want to be more playful. And when one is more playful, they are experiencing more joy. So just in case you wondered, do you all experience joy? The answer is yes. Yes, we do. But anyways, back to you, dear humans. Are you willing? Are you willing to gather in community? Keeping in mind that community can be a total of two individuals can constitute a community. And with that other individual, are you willing to trust one another as safe presence? And if so, what are the vibrations you can deliver? What are the expressions you can offer? For you, you would have facial expressions, and that could be great fun and enormously playful. Play with that. And can you bring joy? Can you bring joy to the exchange? And how would you get your basic needs met from this other if you do not have words or language? Because guess what? We are always getting our basic needs met all of the time. And it is not because we are working on an individualistic platform. We are actually working in community. That's the whole point. So, dearest humans, we say with so much love, are you willing to shut up?
Not permanently, but just from time to time.
Yes.
A daily dose of silence.
Yes, and doing silence in the presence of community. Mm-hmm. That it's very powerful. I don't remember the last time I did that for longer than just a few minutes of meditation. But when a community gets together for the purpose of understanding one another without having to use words, mm-hmm. the soul comes through, right? Like we can go so deep there. Mm-hmm. So I love this.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. I mean, that's in the class that I'm in with Penelope Smith, our animal communication class. This is our daily assignment, is to cultivate presence, which is to be with animals without words, you know, to just open to that level of connection that's beyond words. You know, it's not to say you can't use words, but there's so much more when we let go of thinking that words are the only ways that we can connect.
Yes. Yeah. We're missing a lot of richness by our heavy reliance upon verbal language. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can watch the telepathy tapes and know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, this has been so absolutely delightful. I just want to ask the worms if there are any last parting words that they'd like to say to us humans. And before we do that, I just want to thank them so much for coming through, and for you for bringing them through. And I hope that people will be inspired to consider worms and every other being that's seen or unseen that may be supporting us in ways that we haven't comprehended. And I think part of why, as humans, we so often feel alone and unsupported is because we don't have this connection, active connection. We're not aware that there's so much going on beneath the surface. And we are always, you know, in the being held by loving forces that we don't see and don't hear in words.
beautifully said. Yeah, let's tune into them for a final message for now.
Yeah, today's final message.
Exactly.
We'll have to talk to them more often. I could
definitely.
This needs to be a regular thing.
Definitely.
Have you had your worm wisdom today?
We love your idea. We absolutely love your idea. And we are here. We are here for it, for all of it. We would very much love to impart our wisdom as the days go by, the weeks go by, the months, the years, etc. We are ancient beings, far more ancient than you might think. You could study the rocks, the fossils, etc., and see proof for yourself. Go ahead and study. Do your studies. Be astonished. We love when the humans are astonished. And so what we would invite for you to do, because we do make ourselves visible, while we prefer to work in shadow and in darkness, and we prefer not necessarily invisibility, but it just so happens that is the space from which we do our best transformational, transmutational, nourishing work. We do make ourselves visible, or shall we say that the forces of nature make us visible. And so when you see a hard rain and we must come to the surface for our air exchange, or we are washed to the surface through the pressure of water, then you can see us, then you can have sightings of us. And guess what? We sometimes need some help. We sometimes need some support. We do not prefer to be stepped on. We do not like to be squished and flattened. Of course, this is common knowledge, you would say. But then why walk on by us as we are struggling in the middle of this sidewalk and not gently lift us to safety, to a spot of darkness, to a space of soil or dirt, as you might call it, so that we might find our way back home. So when you see us more vulnerable, and now we are telling you the circumstances in which we are more vulnerable, won't you become part of the web of care? Won't you become part of those who are awakened to notice the smallest of the creatures, the most vulnerable of those? Won't you put your fears aside? I mean, come on. The fact that that humans fear us is so laughable. Well, we are still giggling about it. It is absolutely unfathomable to think of what harm could a worm do to a human? What is that fear really all about? It is conditioning, dearest humans. And the good news about that is whatever has been conditioned, you can uncondition. Whatever has been learned can be unlearned. So we are inviting you, get closer, stoop down. If you are feeling particularly brave and courageous, gently lift us to safety, carry us to where we might do our best work, which is in the realms that we have already identified. And if you are just too afraid, then stoop down anyways and offer us a prayer, a whisper, a bit of your heart. That will do as well.
Wow. Tears. I have tears. Yeah. It's really beautiful. It's so wonderful to just realize that as humans, I think it's easy to feel alone in the universe, you know, because we think it's just us or something, you know, and just to see there's this whole, I don't want to use the word magical, but I'll use the word magical because I can't think of a better word, but there's this whole magical realms of other beingnesses, you know, and so lovely. It's so interesting how we are conditioned to be afraid of different life forms that we don't understand, and little wiggly things scare us, you know.
It's so silly.
So we're so huge, you know. I mean,
I know. You think of the perspective and like they would be the ones to have fear, but they don't have fear. Uh-huh. So they just have the desire to move away from what feels noxious yeah. or unpleasant yeah. and move towards what feels comfortable and known, you know, to them.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So help the worms out.
Help the worms out in whatever way you can. Is yeah. nothing else to not be hurting them or do what you can to protect the soil. And
exactly.
Boy, this has been such a wonderful experience. I don't know. We just have to talk to them more often.
That's terrible.
It seems like we could just, you know, let's see what the worms have to say about such and such. You know, it's just like,
totally.
It's amazing that they have such awareness, again, without any judgment of humans and how we struggle with our version of ourselves, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. It's something.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Stephanie, if people want to get in touch with you, how can they find you?
They can go to my website. It is soulinsight.com, SOULINSIGHT.
Soulinsight.com to talk to Stephanie Banks. And what do you say we do this again sometime soon?
For sure. I never want to stop talking to the worms.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jeannie.
Well, this has been delightful. We'll see you again on another episode of the Human Animal Connection. Aloha for now, and thank you to the worms.
Thank you for tuning into the Human Animal Connection show. Please visit our website, thehumananimalconnection.org. There you can sign up for our free email newsletter, book a consultation, or check out our blogs and resources. Our best-selling book, The Human-Animal Connection, is available on Amazon. And your donation of any amount keeps our nonprofit organization providing life-changing services.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.